Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To stick with the forwards for a second, David Krejci, he just continues to look more and more comfortable. The goal against the Blackhawks, just another shift where the Bruins were just they were in motion without the puck. They were just doing whatever they wanted. The Globetrotters out there, and Krejci is the beneficiary of a nice one touch pass from AJ Greer in the slot, and scores an old time slap shot one timer, which he tried to one up again tonight and did so.
He did. But,
you know, great goal against the Blackhawks. I think he had two goals against the Blackhawks, right? Oh no, one.
Yeah, goal. Yeah, it was the game before that he had two.
Yeah.
So four in his last four, or four in his last three?
Four in his last three, yeah.
Yeah, four in the last three.
So just thoughts on him looking a little bit more comfortable, guys.
Single-handedly bringing back the slap shot. I tweeted that, you know, it's fun. It's funny because I don't know if you guys saw, but Fluta Shinzawa wrote an article in The Athletic about sort of like the slap shot dying as a, specifically like as a shot to score off. It basically like, okay, there's one-timers on the power play, and defensemen will take slap shots, you know, to get rebounds or tips. But, like, no one's taking slap shots 5-on-5 to score. And then all of a sudden you get Krejci doing it twice in the last two games, you know, stepping into a one-timer and then just teeing up the old-school 80s slapper, like, from the wing off the rush, which... I mean, it was a good shot, but like I don't know how that beat Vasilevsky. I'm sure he wants that one back.
That's a low percentage shot right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was interesting because like I thought I would have figured he keeps that shot low because he had Zacha coming down the other wing, charging the net from the left side. So I would have figured keep that low and maybe get the rebound kicked out to Zacha. Instead, he just, you know, puts a top corner. But yeah, just in general, like good to see him with more jump, whether it was goals or assists or just better play, even without a lot of points. Like we had talked about it, you know, there were times that he had looked a little slow and just not quite up to NHL speed. And I think you're seeing that change. And I think getting these goals helps with that. Like it all kind of combines and I think probably gets him into, you know, a better headspace where now he's playing with more confidence. And you see that, right? Like you're not teeing up that shot if you're down on yourself and you feel like you're playing like crap. You tee up that shot when you have some confidence going and you're like, yeah, why not? I think, you know, I wrote this at the time when that second line was struggling. It's, you can't say like they needed him to get going because again, they just keep winning no matter what. They don't need anything, but you did want to see him get going. Obviously he's going to be very important going forward. And now you're seeing it.
Well, Scott, one of the things I found really interesting about your one-on-one with Taylor Hall was that was one thing that he talked about that people hadn't really been talking about. And he's like in a very nice way, subtle way, kind of just said like, Krejci, you know, it's taken him a little bit of time to get back to NHL speed, like in the nicest way possible. And you know, it's true. He didn't come back. Not that he was off by a lot, like say he's at 100%. Maybe he was at 85, 90%, but I just thought it was interesting that Hall did go there, and now we see the turnaround, I guess, or the step up back to where we know he can be and where he has been in the past. Even more so, some people over the years have annoyed the hell out of me when they're saying, oh yeah, Krejci's not a goal scorer. Krejci, you know, like people who don't understand the role of David Krejci. But when he's scoring, guys, don't give me this shit. Don't do that anymore. But yeah, no, it's nice to see him actually getting the production and seeing him step back to a high level. I think this season, most people on this team are higher level than I can remember in a while. Like obviously Nick Foligno, David Krejci's looking better right now. Jake DeBrusk looks great. You know, most people you can name on the team, you're seeing them play almost at their highest level. So,
yeah, everybody's. Yeah, no, it's
Connor Clifton.
Exactly, Clifton's another one. Derek Forbert when he was playing. You know, it's
Linus Allmark.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lindholm, yeah. Allmark. Like you can just keep going.
I think when Scott mentioned earlier, even though they're winning, you still kind of wanted to see Krejci pull through. I think it's because we all know, well, he's one of the major differences to the lineup this year. Otherwise, you know, if he's not playing to his capabilities, then how much different are they from last year? Obviously, you have Lindholm all year and whatever, but we just knew how important Krejci was to this team's aspirations this year. So it's important to know that he was feeling good about himself. And I think he even said himself after maybe the Blackhawks game or the Flyers, but he mentioned that the NHL is like 90% confidence. So, you know, he's feeling good about himself.
Was it the day I was behind him making like resting?
You know what,
Bridget?
I think it may have been.
I got like pushed in the scrum, like right behind him. And then I was just like, I saw myself on TV and I was not happy with the face I was making.
That's funny. Yeah. That may have been the scrum I saw that in. From one David to the next, I do want to quickly touch on Pastrnak because he's third in the league in scoring, third in the league in goals. And while he's been a top five scorer all season long, the goal production was probably a little bit less than maybe what he would want, but he's got three goals in his last two games. And he could have had like five or six goals tonight. So it looks like he's, from a goal scoring perspective, he's about to start to take off here. I think, again, just like we talked about with Krejci, the importance of Pastrnak just all year, like having that elite guy. I mean, they have more than one elite guy, obviously, but just kind of in a contract year, seems to be fully healthy to start the year for the first time in a couple. Just his game being taken to the next level here.
Yeah, Andy responded to a fan flipping him off Monday night after his goal.
How did I forget to mention that part?
Yeah.
Florida man flips off David Pastrnak. Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's been incredible. And like he went through like this stretch where he had one goal in a six game span or something, but he's still putting up assists. It's like he's just making things happen, whether it's 5-on-5 power play, scoring himself, setting up, like, he's, you know, he's been hanging. I mean, McDavid's, you know, put a gap between himself and everyone, but he's been hanging right there with Draisaitl like all season. They've, you know, I think he's back within a point of him after Monday night, up to 29. Draisaitl's at 30, depending on what the Oilers do. But yeah, I mean, he's right there as one of the top point scorers in the league. You know, what was it, 3 years ago when he was, wins a share of the Rocket Richard, maybe like the goal scoring might not be there. Well, you know, we'll see. He's what, like fifth or sixth in goals, but the playmaking, like I think he's taken that almost to another level where, he's not forcing a shot because he thinks that's his job. He's, you know, he's dishing all over the place to everyone and up to, I think it's 18 assists now.
Scott, you got to look this up because you're our analytics guy, but how many expected goals does he have? Because I feel like he could have scored so many more than he did, and this is a Scott statistic, so I'll let you find that out. If you don't already know it, because I feel like you already know
it. I don't know it. I'll have to look it up while you guys talk.
Yeah, I mean, he's third in goals with 12 now. So he's third in the league in goals. McDavid has 16, Bo Horvat has 14, and Pasternak is tied with a couple for 12. And then with points, he's 29, Drysdale's 31, McDavid's 35. Bridget, did you have comments on Pasternak?
I mean, it's kind of hard to like elaborate on it because it's kind of just easy for people to see how well he's playing. Like he's playing great. He just like the rest of the team seems to be really enjoying his time. He's one of the reasons why Krejci came back. One of the reasons why Bergeron came back. You know, they're all just kind of playing for each other right now. So Pasta's just kind of like, he's Pasta. It's hard to really just say what people don't already just see on the ice with him.
Well, I'll tell you who the biggest Pasta fan right now is, and that's his agent. You know, I mean, he's about to be a free agent. He's going to be a top five scorer in the league right now. So
his agent's going to get a nice little percentage chunk.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Pasternak is sixth in individual expected goals with 9.9. I would point out that most of the top goal scorers end up above their expected goals because part of why they're one of the top goal scorers is that they finish at a higher rate than you would expect.
There we go. Thank you, Scott.
Another projected top goal scorer in the league, Nick Foligno. Uncle Nicky.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't know. You're winding up. I was like, he's going to say Foligno.
Uncle Nick, he's just at it again. You know, he parks his ass in front of the net after getting a puck in the mouth during morning skate, get its stitches. And, you know, again, the Bruins we haven't really touched on their first period, but they didn't play great in the first period tonight against Tampa. They had sea legs a little bit. But they weathered the storm, no pun intended.
Oh, you think they were like on a yacht out in Tampa or something?
I don't know. I think they all chugged Dayquil or something.
Scott, that's an inside
maybe
joke.
Brady's. Does Brady still have a yacht down there?
Yeah. But anyway, Foligno's power play goal after Krejci's slap shot goal was it Foligno's goal to give him the 2-1 lead on the power play?
Yeah.
I mean, guys, this guy just keeps bringing it. Uncle Nick is proving his doubters wrong.
Well, by the way, it wasn't even just like, you know, power play goal in front of the net. He dove for it, like landed on his stomach. It was a full on, like all out effort play.
Yeah. And right after he sees a slap shot fly by him, the same thing he saw in a morning skate that got him all stitched up.
He also had to go back down the tunnel at one point in the game.
Yeah.
But he had four stitches from getting hit with a slap shot from Hampus Lindholm. And did you hear him talk after the game, Scott? Because he said that it almost hit Strawman in the face and then, but it hit Foligno instead. And Strawman told him, I'm glad it hit you instead. So he's just a hockey player. He gets a few stitches, not going to keep him out of the lineup. And he's still going to dive headfirst for the puck and try to put it in.
By the way, worth noting that because you just mentioned Foligno briefly going down the tunnel, Trent Frederick also left the game and didn't return, suffered some sort of upper body injury. There's Bruins tweeted a photo of like the whole team celebrating in the locker room, and he looked to have some sort of sling or something like around his arm. So
that's interesting because he hit hip first into the boards. It looked like I guess he hit his full side against the boards, but
his left arm was kind of, he definitely like jammed it as he crashed into the boards. So
yeah, I was always worried at first that it was something with his hip, just because like I said, he went that full left side went right into the boards.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. So that's, you know, another something else to keep an eye on. Obviously, if he misses time, then that means either, you know, Craig Smith gets back into the lineup or maybe Jacob Lauko gets recalled. You know, he's been down in Providence for a while now. So it would be unfortunate because I feel like Frederick's been playing pretty well and is, you know, has been having one of his better stretches where, regardless of what the points are, he's just been playing, I think, pretty consistently from shift to shift and bringing what you need him to bring, which is, you know, physicality, forechecking. He's been skating well. I think he's been making good decisions with the puck. So hopefully for him, not anything long term.
Yeah, he assisted on the Coyle goal too, like we mentioned earlier. So, I mean, that was a heads up play to get, you know, the puck to Coyle down near the post. But yeah, he's been playing better. I did want to mention that he did, like you just did, that he didn't come back into the game, which is concerning, obviously. We'll probably find out more about it tomorrow. They have a game Wednesday against Florida on the road. So I wonder if we'll see him that game. But yeah, I guess that could complicate things because it's a road trip. So if you have to recall someone, you got to get them on a plane and get them to Florida. But
I'm pretty sure
if you wanted Lauko, yeah. I'm saying if you wanted Lauko. Yeah. Smith, I think, made the trip, but which maybe makes him easier. But is he fully recovered? And this is more of...
I think so, yeah. I think he's ready to play, and he's just been out of the lineup because Greer's been playing well, and I think Montgomery just hasn't felt any need
his,
to...
What was his injury again? I forget what his injury was.
He had some sort of upper body injury. I think he had suffered it in practice. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Switching gears real quick, guys. Do you know who leads the Bruins in points the last two games with 6?
Yes, because I tweeted about him.
You son of a bitch.
Let's talk see if Bridget gets it.
Okay, all right. Bridget, do you know who it is?
Wait, what did you say, 6 points?
6 points in the last two games.
It's not Pasta?
It's not Pasta.
Okay, nope. just say it.
Chucky. Chucky Cheese.
Oh, Chucky
so
Cheese.
It's just a sign. You know, we talked about Hampus Lindholm, rightfully so, all year in the absence of McAvoy, and just how you have a stud number one left shot defenseman. You know, with McAvoy getting 6 points in his last two games, I don't have it in front of me. If somebody wants to look up his totals on the year now, but he's probably got, if I had to guess, he's probably got what, 10 or 11 points in seven or eight games.
9 points in 6 games now.
So he's over a point per game. So you have Lindholm and McAvoy at over a point per game on the blue line. And it just goes to show that he looks like himself. The first game against Calgary, he was, rightfully so, he looked like he was a little bit out of sorts. He still played fine. And maybe even the second game back against Buffalo, I think that's who his second game was. But he looks to be back. The only thing we haven't seen out of McAvoy yet is one of his patented, like, you know, body check, stepping up on somebody and catching him with an open ice hit. But I think that'll come when the opportunity presents itself. But from a skating perspective and moving the puck, and he seems to be getting back to who he is.
Yeah, and on the power play, obviously, as soon as he comes back, he pretty much gets all the time on the top power play unit. And he's a good quarterback up there as well. So, and you want to know who I almost guessed was DeBrus, because DeBrus had a few assists today and he had one last game too. So, yeah, I mean, DeBrus been playing well, like contributing points wise as well, but yeah. So McAvoy, once again, is another one of those players where it's like, okay, he's kind of just doing the McAvoy thing. Like he's able to assist on the plays. He's not noticeable in the defensive zone unless it's for a good reason. And he's eating a lot of ice time, obviously. Like, since he's come back, Clifton has gotten less ice time. Other guys have gotten less ice time. Lindholm still does get some power play ice time with the second unit, and I think the second power play unit looked really good today. But yeah, he's eating up a lot of minutes now, and he's clearly able to handle them. And yeah, he was as soon as he came back. So
yeah, he hit his highest minutes total yet on Monday, 23-28 against Tampa. You know who else got a lot of minutes Monday was Brandon Carlo, 21-55. I wonder if this is just like a matchup thing where, you know, Montgomery saw something he liked about where he thought Carlo would be better with Lindholm, better in a higher minutes role than Clifton. But those two kind of flipped, and Carlo was 21.55, Clifton at 17.38.
Carlo also had like 2.5 minutes of penalty killing.
Yeah. And I thought Carlo had a good game. I've been saying it for a while now. Like, I just think game after game, he's been really solid and just making good plays in the defensive zone. You know, I think we know he's at this point, like, he's not going to be a flashy offensive player. He's not going to be doing what Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm are doing, but you don't need him to. Like, if he just keeps it clean in the G zone, that's all you want from him. And he's been doing that and got rewarded with a bump up to the second pairing, or, you know, 1B pairing or whatever, however you want to classify it. You got more minutes, and it's, you know, it's, again, it's just another sign of the depth that the Bruins have on specifically, I would say, among like their top five defensemen right now. And, you know, six of when Derek Forbort eventually comes back, but depending on the matchup, like, Montgomery can ride different guys, different nights. You know, you'll see nights where Clifton's going to be above 20 minutes. You'll see nights where Carlo's going to be above. Grizzlick's had some fluctuation, nights where he plays more if they need more offense or think they're going to be more in possession, or his minutes might drop if they're, you know, doing more defending or whatever. And yeah, McAvoy and Lindholm, they're going to be the two horses who are always going to get their minutes in any situation against any team. But, you know, I think Montgomery's figuring out like what he has in everyone else, and, you know, when to kind of ride different guys. And just want to point out, like, Monday was kind of a Carlo game. And, you know, I think he met the challenge.
Well, he had the most shots of any of the defensemen on the team. I mean, I can recall a few like slap shots he had, but yeah, so he was putting pucks on net. And like I said, he had three shots. That was more than anyone else. And then Grizzlick and McAvoy both assisted on the Krejci goal. But yeah, that was where they were most noticeable, I guess. I didn't think Stroman had a bad game either. But he only ended up with 10 minutes, just over 10 minutes, which is not too unexpected. He's been getting the fewest minutes of any of the defensemen when he's been in, so.
Yeah, it was nice to see Creed Bratton in that locker room picture with Bergeron afterwards, if you want to zoom in and see him there. Yeah, it's the team's playing well. I think Matt Grizzlick is a guy that we haven't really talked a whole lot about this year just because he's been so solid, and we kind of forget that he was out to start the year too, and came back early from injury. So the versatility you have on the back end, like Scott, you alluded to, it's just it's great because you have there's the matchup game is prevalent in the playoffs as well. Like, if you look back at the Bruins 2019 Stanley Cup playoff run, first round against Toronto was completely different than second round against Columbus, right? Like, Toronto went seven games and you were on the verge of elimination on Easter Sunday in Toronto. But it was a different type of series. Like, there was definitely more wear and tear on their bodies against Columbus. That was more of a blue collar team. And then you go and play Carolina, who wasn't really ready yet. That was more of a Toronto style series. Again, you swept them. And then obviously St. Louis was a very, very tough series, but you get different opponents over seven games in the playoffs. It's good to have different D combinations that you can go to depending on who you're playing and what matchups you have, if you're on home ice or away, and whatnot. So yeah, everybody looks good.
I want to make another point about the defense, just after, you know, quickly looking through some of the stats from the game. Grizzlick didn't get really any special teams time. He didn't get any time on the penalty kill. He had like 12 seconds on the power play. Stroman also no time on special teams. So that's going to the other guys.
Yeah. And you know, you don't really need Grizzlick getting special teams time. You know, I'm sure he would like to be on the power play, obviously, and he's done a fine job on the power play in the past, but if you have McAvoy and Lindholm in the lineup, like those are the guys who are going to be quarterbacking your power play units, and they don't play two D power play units. Both units are 1D, four forwards, and
sometimes, you know, no D.
Yeah. And like maybe that would change later in a game if you're protecting a one goal lead, like maybe you throw 2D out there, but yeah.
If
everyone else is healthy, Grizzlick's not playing on the power play, and you don't need him on the penalty kill. Like you have other guys who can do that. It's not he can do it, but it's not really a strong suit. So I almost don't even necessarily think it's like an indictment of Grizzlick to not get.
I don't think so.
Special teams time. I just think, and we know Grizzlick's good 5-on-5. So like optimize your lineup and get him those minutes. He's, you know, I think he's going to be the first guy out after a lot of power plays or penalty kills.
By the way, Scott, you're thinking the opposite of Montgomery. If it's late in the game and you're up by one, you step on their throat, you go five forwards on the power play, try to put it away.
You gotta step on the dragon's throat, I'm sure he would say. You know what's funny though? You look at the as it pertains to Matt Grizzlick in the lack of power play time. If you pull up the Bruins individual stats this year, Hampus Lindholm is second on the Bruins in points behind Pastrnak. He's tied with Bergeron for 18 points. So Hampus Lindholm has 18 points in 19 games. As we mentioned earlier, Charlie McAvoy has 9 points in 6 games. If McAvoy had played 16 games or 17 games like everybody else this year, he's probably second or third on the team in scoring. So if you're Matt Grizzlick, you're behind, you know, two defensemen that could have been two or three in scoring. So it's tough for him to break through in that aspect of the game right now, but they don't need him to. And I think he can just kind of focus on what he has to do. And I think at times in the past, Grizzlick has gotten a little bit worn out. And I think that to manage his minutes over the course of an 82 game season is probably not a bad thing for him.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.